Are you truly stepping into the role of leader in your own life the way you know you're meant to? What shifts would unlock your full potential? It's time to explore those answers with the host of Sacred Leadership, intuitive business coach, Charisse Alexander.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are here today with me, Charisse Alexander, on Sacred Leadership with Charisse. Of course, my name is Charisse Alexander. So before we dive into today's topic, which is effective, all about building effective communication skills, I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. So I am a mother to four. I am a business owner. I've been in business for roughly the last 20 years or so across finance and sales. And my most recent career, I suppose you could say, is as an executive director with Watt Renewable Corporation. We build sustainable development or power plants effectively, energizing communities where there is energy poverty. And so with all of that experience, I've learned a lot about the things that I bring to you each week. And today, like I said, we are going to talk a little bit about building effective communication skills. So before we dive in, I just kind of want to go back a little bit. And I hope that if you're joining me today for the first time, that you can start to see that really what we're talking about is how do we begin to put the foundation and framework in place so that we can actually move our businesses and companies along to achieving what those organizational objectives are. So each week I'm bringing you tools, resources, talking about books. And truth be told, I'm testing a lot of this, or I've either tested it or I'm currently in a testing phase. And I got to tell you, there's some really juicy findings that are coming from all of this that I'm excited to share with you. So let's go. Communication is so simple, yet it tends to be extremely elusive. It's one of those things that is ever evolving as we find different methods and platforms to communicate with. On today's show, I am going to be discussing challenges that arise when communication is strained, the different parts of communication, the how in addressing communication challenges, amongst many other ideas. Regardless of whether you're applying these principles personally or professionally, one of the biggest challenges in relationships is bridging the gap between ideas that is ultimately how do we understand each other. So without further delay, let's go ahead and dive in. So I opened this by talking a little bit about the challenges that can arise when communication is strained. And so coming into this environment, which is in Nigeria, I've always considered myself to be an exceedingly gifted communicator. That was my perception. However, I was really struggling with getting people to understand the message that I was coming to bring them. And realistically speaking, so of course, there's always, not always, but sometimes there can be a language barrier. And if you're familiar with Nigeria, there's Yoruba, there's Hausa, and there's Igbo, but then there's like Pidgin dialect. And, you know, it was making just even speaking to people really challenging. But with that in mind, that language aside, there's other things that can complicate communication. So what happens when communication is challenged? If we look at it in the workplace, it can bring about things such as confusion. So not being clear either about roles and responsibilities or, what people are supposed to be doing or where they're supposed to be going. And ultimately, that leads to frustration, which we can see all around us in the workplace if you're paying attention. And then ultimately, as a business owner, this is where you would begin to see that you would have these challenges in like trying to meet the objectives that you've set out for your people and the business as a whole. And one other indicator of, challenges within communication in terms of your business can be, of course, high turnover with your staff, lack of engagement, dissatisfaction amongst your employees. These are all clear indicators, or not clear indicators, but can be really strong indicators that communication is really challenging. So when I'm talking to my people, I've been, like I said, really testing this theory, and As I've said before, am somebody who tends to believe in having an open door policy. And to me, that's kind of the first step in trying to have effective communication, which is you got to be welcoming. So I know that in some organizations, we can get really stuck in the idea of, organizational hierarchy and, maybe lower level employees can't go talk to like C-suite executives and that sort of thing. Our organization is still fairly small, so we're able to really have that open door policy. And I think it really encourages people, or at least we try to encourage people to really utilize the avenue that we've provided to them in terms of, open door policy. So in talking about communication, I think the first thing that is important to highlight here is that it is two parts. There is a receiver and or there's a giver and there's a receiver. So, first I got to know what I want to say. And that's often really difficult for people is in terms of like figuring out what is the actual message that I want to convey to people today or in this interaction. So, you'll see it in communication or in conversations, sorry, rather, when folks are like, okay, just give me a minute, let me gather my thoughts. Or and I'm a big believer of that. So when I'm in conversation with people, and I used to do this, like I'm just gonna make it personal for a moment. When I would be having a conversation with my partner from many years ago, we'd be in a dialogue and it could get heated, but our communication styles were really, really different. And we're going to get to this, but here's the story to highlight it. So I'm a processor. I will take in information. I want to take it away. I want to think about it. I want to mull it over, see what fits, what doesn't, so on and so forth. He was not a processor. He was, I'm just going to give it to you. Or he was a very fast processor. So he was more about just giving you all the information, all the data. And so here's where the disconnect was, is he'd be talking, I'm receiving, I'm processing, and then I'd be silent. And he would be like, well, what are you doing? And I'm like, and the first time it happened, I was just like, oh, I'm processing. And he would be like, well, you can say that. And I'd be like, oh, okay, well, I'm processing. So I think it's really important to be able to identify your communication style as well as the other people in the room or in the interaction. And I think it's important to note here that a lot of what we're going to talk about is easily applicable when it comes to your personal relationships, because that example I just gave you was straight out of a personal relationship. And as soon as he was able to articulate, like, okay, great, it's fantastic that you need to process, but can you at least communicate that you need processing time? So now, when I'm in interaction with people in a work environment and they're talking and I'm taking in their information, I will stop. Well, I'll say to them, I'll say, okay, just give me a moment. I'm chewing and I'm mulling over what it is that you just said. So give me a moment. And so people expect it from me because now I've told them that. So, like I said, communication is two parts, the ability to articulate. So, for those of you out there who might not be fast processors, give yourself a moment. There's lots of different things that you can do with this. So, I am somebody, as an example, who I don't, when I plan things in terms of communication, I like to have a really rough framework of what I'm going to talk about, whereas some people want to have like all the details and like have, a plan for the 2 or 3 or 4 or 12 different things that can maybe come out of that communication. If you're somebody who doesn't like to plan at all and just wants to go, by the seat of your pants and really lean into what you get intuitively, the point that I'm trying to get at is the most important piece of that is figure out what you want to say. Now, on the receiving end of things, this is where it gets tricky, is because you've got all these different communication styles. And how easy is it to go into a room and figure out all the different communication styles and how you're going to speak to all of the people that are in the room and, effectively get that message out there? So, again, another really quick story of like why it's really, really important to understand the people that you're trying to communicate with. So, there was a day here in my office. And I've started using this example frequently so that people could understand the I was highlighting the communication challenges. We were sitting in the conference room, and somebody said, "Oh, the CEO said to do this." And I was like, "Okay." So then I went and talked to the CEO, and I was like, "Did you say to do this?" I was verifying the data that I was receiving. And he said, "No, that's not what I said. This is what I said." So then I go back down the stairs and I said, "No, I just talked to him and perhaps you misunderstood, but this is really what he meant." And this, the reason why I bring this example up is because we're so quick to take the information that is being given to us. And I get it. There's a lot of data that's coming at people on a daily basis. And your brain is literally trying to like sort and filter through ridiculous amounts of data and figure out like what's important. But the one thing I started saying to my people is like in the conversation, stop and say, "Okay, I'm going to say it back to you so I can make sure that I understood what you said." So this way, I'm not making it about the other person. I'm saying I might have misunderstood what you were saying. So let me repeat it back to you and make sure that what I said was your intent. And either they will say yes, no, or there'll be some kind of tweak. So that's a really good example of one of the types of things. If you're not doing it, repeating it back. And then that way it's almost like reinforcing the idea of what was just communicated to you. And then also it's really on the positive side of things is when you're understood or when somebody feels understood, then, you know, it obviously feels really good because they can validate themselves as a really good communicator. Now, if you are in an organizational environment and you're trying to hammer home this point to your people. We did this one day at a town hall meeting. And what I was trying to illustrate to the folks in the room was that it's so important that we trust, but we verify. Our CEO says it all the time. And I love that. He's like, trust the data, but make sure to verify it. So of course we played the old fashioned telephone game. I started the story. And by the time it had gone through everybody in the room, what got to the other end was completely not at all what I started the story with. And it was really important in this particular example with the organization, because when you think about a company, you've got your finance, your ops, your projects, your marketing team, your sales team, your IT, like enough that if one thing that affects all those departments is not communicated clearly, then it can obviously breed a lot of misunderstanding and confusion. So that super simple exercise was like really where people started to see and understand, oh, I really have to be like mindful of how I am delivering a message so that I am not misunderstood. So before we dive into how we address the communication challenges, I just want to recap a little bit what we've talked about here so far, which is, of course, first and foremost, you know, communication challenges can lead to confusion, frustration, turnover, inability to meet organizational objectives, you know, along with like a myriad of other things that can really hamper your business's progress. Communication, as I've said, is a it's two ways, right? It goes both ways. A saying that I absolutely love is the phone rings on both ends, right? So there's a giver of information and there's a receiver of the information. And as a follow-up to that, one of the things that I had reiterated here is like, it's really important to like, yes, collect the information and accept the communication, but make sure that we are verifying that information. And a real easy way to do it is just to say, "Hey, I'm going to repeat that back to you to make sure that I understood the intent of your message." So next, what we're going to talk about is addressing what communication challenges are. And as I was kind of writing the framework here, I thought a quote that most people are probably familiar with would really hammer home the point here. And it's "seek first to understand, then to be understood." And that statement was popularized by Stephen R. Covey. And when I approach communication, the first thing, and I say it to people frequently, I'm asking because I want to understand. I want to understand where you're coming from. So that way, I almost find that as soon as I express to people, I'm really trying to understand what your position is or what it is you're trying to explain to me. So please, it almost like lets the defenses down. Because, you know, sometimes when you start like probing and asking questions and trying to get clarity, people can sometimes become defensive. And so if I say, I'm trying to understand where you're coming from, and maybe even throw in seek first to understand, most times people will just be like, oh, okay, she wants to just understand where I'm coming from. So when approaching communication, I often open with that. Like, I'm asking you these questions because I'm genuinely trying to understand where you're coming from. And I think what I was alluding to earlier around the various types of communication types, this is where this comes in really, really handy. So of course, there's, if we break up communication, you've got verbal and you've got nonverbal. And again, I'm sure we've all heard that, you know, 80% of communication is nonverbal. So what exactly does that mean? So of course, there's body language, there's facial expressions. My favorite, of course, is the energy of a situation or an interaction. And then, you know, the verbal is really only accounting for 20%. But even when you think of the verbal and what that looks like, there's, you know, the what we say, how we say it, and then pairing in all of the nonverbal pieces with that, and what that really brings about in how that interaction really unfolds. So before we dive into more about the addressing the communication challenges, we are going to go ahead and take our first break. And when we get back, we will continue to talk about addressing communication challenges.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Sacred Leadership with Charisse. I'm your host, Charisse, and we are on the Inspired Choices Network. So today we are talking about how to go about building effective communication skills. And just to recap from the first segment, we highlighted some challenges that can come up when communication is strained, such as confusion, frustration, inability to move corporate objectives along, and then high turnover, or, you know, employee disengagement. Next, we covered that communication is two parts. So there's somebody who is giving information or communicating, and then there is the receiver of that communication, and how important it is to be able to articulate. So being able to collect your thoughts, your ideas, and be able to articulate it to an audience. And then, of course, the second part of that is the ability to comprehend. And this is sometimes where I find that folks get sometimes a little stuck. One thing that we were challenged with at times would be, you know, if somebody doesn't quite understand what I'm saying or the information that's being given to them, they would be resistant to like saying, oh, hey, you know, I didn't really understand what you were saying. And it was really beyond frustrating for me. So now what we are talking about is how to go about addressing those communication challenges when they come up. And as I said, the first part is seeking first to understand, then to be understood. So often in interactions, I will move into the interaction with the energy and actually vocalize, you know, I just want to make sure that I'm understanding what you're saying. So if I ask a lot of questions, please don't be offended, that sort of thing. And we were talking also about different communication styles as well as learning styles. So communication being 20% verbal and 80% nonverbal. Really, if you think about it, there's a lot of things that one needs to be mindful of when they're communicating. And so, you know, things like, are you engaged? Are you like making eye contact? A big one these days is, are you on your cell phone? Often if people are on their cell phone when I'm talking to them, I will stop and I will wait. And they can say, I'm listening. And I will say, I will wait until I have your undivided attention. So, you know, obviously showing engagement is the point that I'm ultimately getting at. And then even if you are showing engagement, what is your body language saying? Are you leaning in? Are you crossing your arms? Are you looking bored? Like, what's your face doing? I love when I'm in interaction with people and they're talking and I'm reading everything that's on their face. I love it. And I will say to them, like, I love that you're so expressive. I'm like totally reading everything that you're thinking and feeling. Or if they make a face, I'll say to them, okay, your face is telling me you are thinking something contrary to what I'm saying. Tell me more. You know, these are all parts of communication. So what am I talking about here? I'm talking about, yes, the verbal and nonverbal parts of communication, but I'm also talking about paying attention and actually, now, I guess, depending on the setting, I'm trying to get my folks to engage with me. So when I'm seeing all of these verbal and these nonverbal cues, I'm asking them and I'm inviting them into the space with me to really engage in conversation. So, you know, we've talked about body language. Facial expressions are a really big one. There's also energy. So the energy is more, today's Tuesday, not that it matters, but yesterday, actually, one of my employees, she's very keen and very perceptive. And so she had come into my office and she'd said, your vibe is like really, I don't know what you're giving today, but I'm not loving your vibe. And she's like, and your vibe is affecting my vibe. And I just said to her, it actually was a full moon. So I said to her, I'm like, oh, I'm like, it's the full moon. I'm like, I think I'm just a little sensitive. So I'm really trying to like mind my own energy because I don't want to like sound off on anyone. Even that is helpful because when I say that to someone, I'm basically saying, it's not you, it's me. I'm aware, but I'm really trying to manage my energy so that it doesn't spill out. But do you see what she said there? Do you see how strong that was? There was nothing I said. There was nothing that I did. She had zoned in on the fact that my energy spoke way more than anything else. And she was, like I said, she's comfortable enough with me that she called me on it and we were able to have this dialogue. So don't ever discount, you know, how important and how informative energy can be. Because in this particular scenario, we have this kind of relationship where I can say, hey, you know, you're feeling off today. And I just want to make sure, is there anything that you need to like unload on me? So we talked about communication styles. So there's that. Now, of course, there's the other part of that where there's written communication, there's verbal communication, there's visual communication. Like you can start to see, like, if you really stop and think about all that you're doing in an interaction, when you are trying to understand something that somebody says, your entire experience is about reading so much in a situation where only 20% of it is verbal. So there's a lot going on is the point that I'm trying to get at. And there's a lot that you are managing within yourself when you are also effectively communicating, when you're receiving the information. So I also think that it's valuable and important to understand the different learning styles that are around you, especially as a leader or someone who might be on the management team. So the obvious ones to me are there are visual learners. So people who learn by seeing. Then there is auditory learners, so just need to hear it and you can go to town on it. And then there's kinesthetic learners. And I think most people actually fall into the category of kinesthetic, so learning by doing. And the reason why I think that I'm bringing it up is that When you are trying to communicate things like, let's say, core values or company objectives and things like that, how are you going to communicate to all of these different types of people with all of these different types of learning styles and communication styles if you don't actually start to dive into who they are and what is going on with them in terms of their learning style? So one of the things that we like to do is to take that into consideration whenever we're doing something that is like really lengthy. So as an example, last year near the end of the year, we were having like an end of the year roundup where we were talking about what we had achieved in the year and we were planning for 2025, and we knew it was going to be a long day with a lot of content. So I was very mindful of getting people really involved. So of course there were, visuals and slides and things like that. There was, of course, auditory, so there was a lot of presenting. But the other thing that we did is we got people up out of their seat. We got people moving around the room. We got people like actually physically engaging in activities. And I think when you do those kinds of things, there's like a muscle memory that comes along with whatever the message is that you're trying to convey. So, if you're talking about, as the example of earlier in today's episode, I was talking about communication and what happens when it breaks down. So illustrating very clearly to my team that this is what happens when we don't, trust and verify the information. If you don't go back to the sender of the information and say, "Hey, is this what you said?" and verify it, then you go on to pass poor information along to the other people that are in the chain. So this brings about a book that I had read, I think it was last year, and it's called Colors, Personalities by George Bolecki. And he goes through the different types of personalities and kind of what's associated with them. So I guess you could say like, another personality test, but this one is super easy because it's just four colors. You've got orange, blue, yellow, and green. So people who fall into an orange category are your free spirits. They're super spontaneous. They fly by the seat of their pants. They could possibly be considered a little unpredictable. In the next category, you have blues, and blues are your compassionate feeling type of people. Guilty as charged. And then you have yellows, and yellows are your folks that are like really bound by duty and responsibility. And then last but not least, you have your green type of personalities, and they're extremely analytical in the information that you give to them. So, why do I bring this up? So, you've got me. Who actually, I won't use myself as an example. I'm going to use our managing director as an example. So he is what I would classify as a green personality, which means that he's extremely analytical. So talking about the way things feel or being like really spontaneous, those things are not going to, they're not going to land with him. They're not going to resonate with him. They are not, there's just not going to work. And so when people try to bring an idea to him and they're like, "I really feel like this would be like this," or whatever, like just very abstract, not grounded in fact type of information, it goes nowhere. So often, when I have people that are coming to me and they're like struggling to communicate with him, what I will say is, I'll tell them straight, he's an analytical type of personality. So you have to give him data, and you have to give him data that is like clear to understand and answers all of his questions, because he will clearly say to you, "I don't understand what you're giving to me." So, in data, when you're giving data, and I always say to my folks, when you're giving data, don't just do a data dump. Make it make sense to me. Like if I have to like really do a lot of mental acrobatics to figure out what you're trying to say to me, I'm not interested. Answer six questions for me. Who, what, where, when, why, and how. If you can answer those six questions in almost anything, I'm pretty sure that you'll have a successful outcome with me. Oh, we're about to go to break here. So when we come back, we will continue talking about the different personality types and why it could be very important to you to kind of establish some of that in the group that you're addressing. We will be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back. You are listening to Sacred Leadership with Charisse. I'm your host, and we are on Inspired Choices Network. So today we are talking about building effective communication skills. Before we jump back into exactly what that looks like and what we've been chatting about here, I just kind of wanted to give you a touch point of where we are in our business and why am I talking about all of this? So ultimately, you know, we work in West Africa, and I think I can say that the market that we work in is hands down one of the most challenging environments. I think everybody is having human resources challenges, and I think that's really been in place since COVID. But in addition to that, the environment itself has a lot of outside situations, macroeconomics, we'll say, that really impact the business and, more importantly, the people. And so a lot of what I'm sharing with you here week on week are things that I've tried and we've either seen positive results. Well, they're usually positive results, but the things that we consistently do to tweak the business and really looking at it more from the human resource aspect of it, because at this point in time, I know AI is a thing, but the reality is that I still need people to run my business, and I'm trying to always figure out how I can, you know, get my folks to align with what it is that we're trying to do as a business. And I thought it would be really important to just kind of lay that framework and foundation, because, you know, every week I'm here and you might be thinking, why are we talking about this? We're talking about things that I've tried, and I'm offering these resources to you because, like I said, arguably this is probably one of the most difficult markets to work in, but I think that we're finding a way to do it effectively. So before we went to break, we were chatting about communication, the challenges that come about from that, confusion, frustration, employee disengagement, high turnover, communication always being two parts. So the giver and the receiver of that communication. And further to that, the importance around being able to articulate yourself well or get your point across. And then, of course, for the receiver to make sure that they understand that. And then, of course, the different styles of communication. And, of course, the fact that communication is 20% verbal and the rest is, you know, facial expressions, body language, and energy. So where I left off right before we went to break is I was sharing a book by George Bolecki called Colors, Personalities, and it's a book that really goes over different types of personalities and their associated colors. So again, orange is a free spirit or spontaneous, yellow being very responsibility and duty bound, blue being compassionate or feelers, and then of course greens being analytical. And the example that I was making was around, you know, when my employees or staff are trying to get their ideas across to managing director, he's very analytical. So it's extremely important that when they are bringing their ideas to him, that they make sure that that information is present it in such a way that he can understand it and quickly make a decision. Now go to the, you know, if you pick another color, and in this case, I'm going to pick blue. I'm a feeler. I'm someone who's very compassionate. So I should probably say here for a second, though, that it's not unusual to have, like, you know, more than one color, because even as I say this, I'm like, yeah, I'm a feeler, but, you know, I like data too. So, but primarily I'm a feeler. So when I talk to people, I will always talk about how something feels, how the energy feels. I will rarely talk about I think. I will mostly say this feels like this. And the reason why I do that is I'm inviting folks to also lean into how things feel for them, right? And learn how to trust that. So aside from myself, the other example I will use is our HR manager. Now, she is hands down very, very blue, because everything is very much about how she feels. And so I love watching these. And if you start to just kind of pay attention with this, like, high level overview that I've given you, and just test it for yourself, and just kind of look at different people and their colors and their personalities that are showing up, and figure out what they are and maybe match their style in terms of how you communicate with them, and see how you can be effective with that. So because I know that our CEO is green, I don't take things to him unless I have a fully baked. If it's not fully baked, then at least I've put enough information in there that he can make a sound decision. If I know that I'm going to go talk to the HR manager, I know that she's a feeler. So I'm going to talk to her in terms of the energy of things and how things feel and so on and so forth. If I know that I'm speaking to somebody who is very yellow or duty or responsibility oriented, I'm going to talk about things like responsibility and accountability, right? We're going to talk about, you know, KPIs and those kinds of things, so that we can connect speaking about that. And then if I'm speaking to someone who's orange, I'm going to lift my own vibration so I can, generally speaking, match, you know, the excitement that orange personalities tend to put out there. So this is why I'm saying that it can be important. And no, this is not about not being authentic. It's about finding ways to connect with people so that your communication can be very effective. So once you maybe have a better understanding of all of the folks that you are working with or who are working for you, then we can begin to put these other things in place in terms of really getting down to the nuts and bolts of what you're trying to communicate. So I had this come up today in this meeting we were having, where there was, seemed like confusion. And I found myself asking during this meeting, I'm like, okay, has this concept been clearly communicated to all parties? And about half the room was like, well, yes. And I said, okay, it's like a department meeting. So I asked the other half of the room, do you guys understand what they're saying? They're like, no. Was it communicated to you? No. So that's what I mean. It's not unusual to see, you know, like in our organization, we've got basically half the organization that is involved in operations and very field type of work. And then the rest of the organization supports that work, right? So all of our ops and projects guys are like, well, yeah, we all know it. Okay, yes. But did you communicate it to everyone else? And everybody else needs to know, so that when something comes up, they can allocate it to the, you know, the task owner or the person who's responsible for it. So number one, clear delineation of roles. That is supremely important. So every time we have new people coming into the organization, we are updating the org chart, we're, you know, sending it out and making sure that people understand, like, what is the flow of responsibilities within the organization. The second thing that's extremely important is clear communication. I think today's only Tuesday, and I think that I have found myself saying repeatedly, clear is kind. Like, let's be really, really clear with what our intentions are, so that there is zero misunderstanding around what we are trying to communicate. So in this example of being in this meeting today, I think the action item that came out of that was like, okay, can we please do a responsibility matrix so that folks understand with these new folks that have come into the ecosystem that these people are doing these different functions, and if something comes up, this is who you're supposed to direct it to. So that was a really great outcome from this obvious confusion that was going on today. And then communication will ultimately usher in that energy of confidence, because when there is, you know, challenges afoot and there is, you know, uncertain times, even if it's to say, you know, I'm not entirely certain how we're going to navigate this, but we're certainly going to keep you in the loop of what is going on. Interestingly enough, it really calms people down. And I think the most relatable experience is COVID-19. That is probably one thing that everybody on the globe at that particular point in time was equally feeling like, what is going on right now? And I think the leaders that were able to come in and say, hey, we know you're scared, so acknowledging that feeling, but we've got you, and we're going to navigate this together. We don't have all the answers yet, but we're going to take it one day at a time. That brings confidence, because you're acknowledging a fear, you're vocalizing it, and you're like exuding this energy of like, I've got you, right? So I think it's really important to make sure that recognizing that instead of trying to hide behind the energy of, I don't want to tell people because it'll scare them, understand that when we can be clear in our communication, it really does usher in the energy of security and confidence. And then the easiest way to manage any change, of course, is in communication. So just take a moment and think about the last time your business or your organization or someone that you worked for was trying to bring about something really significant within the workplace. And, you know, I don't know if that, obviously I wouldn't know, but were they handling it in a way where there was lots of communication and they were carrying people along? Or was it this energy of like people not really knowing what was going on and, you know, really just kind of creating way more questions than there were answers? And so what I'm inviting you to do, if you're in a leadership position, and even if you're not in a leadership position, how can you, in your communication style, begin to show up as a leader who can really embody all these different things, right? So just to kind of recap a little bit, you know, recognizing when there's a challenge with the communication. Once you can recognize it, then we can really begin to tackle it. And sometimes this will take a little bit of stepping back and observing, but at the same time, that's when you really start to witness the things that you can start to address. So once you've identified the challenge, then you want to go ahead and take a look at like, okay, so where are the communication challenges? How can we address these communication challenges? You know, can we do some things where we can begin to bring to the surface the different, if you haven't already, how do you bring to the surface the different personalities that are at play so that you can effectively speak to them? And are we ensuring with our people that we are doing a really good job of effectively communicating the changes that we want to make on a daily basis? And these are the things that I really think will help us to show up sacred leaders, if you are an actual leader in your organization, or even if you're not, these are the things that you can do to maybe model what it looks like. So we talked a lot about how the communication challenges can look in a business and kind of the principles that we would go through on the business side of things. But what about when we've got communication challenges personally? And that could be any type of personal relationship, be it romantic or friends or family or any of those things. And the reason why I bring this into the conversation, because as I've said before, we're a whole human beings, and I don't certainly expect my people to park their personal lives at the door. So we may as well look at the other parts of who we are, which is the personal side. So we're about to go to break, but when we get back, we'll talk a little bit about communication in interpersonal relationships.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse at PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back. You are listening to Sacred Leadership with Charisse. I'm your host, and we are on the Inspired Choices Network. So today we have been chatting about building effective communication skills. And for the most part today, we've been talking about how it applies in your workplace or in your business. But now we're going to pivot to what this looks like in your personal life and in your interpersonal relationships. So surprisingly, it's not that different. And I guess maybe what I would probably say there is that the difference is that maybe people are a little more sensitive, because when we're talking about our personal relationships, we have, let's face it, a lot more invested usually. So let's look at the chain here from the personal side of things. So what happens when we have conflict or breakdown in communication on the personal side of things? So on the personal side of things, we inevitably probably have some conflict. We have perhaps disengagement from the relationship. We have misunderstandings. We have things like small things becoming really exacerbated. We have difficulty moving beyond those things. Like, it's just, it's communication challenges. And the reality is, it's like, they're everywhere. They're in every single facet of your experience, because it's what we do. Like, you can't go through a human experience without having communication. So ultimately, if we don't figure this out, we're going to have challenges wherever we go. So once we have identified, and most people are able to say, oh, we need to work on our communication. We need to work on our communication. Well, how do you do that? And I think the most important thing to recognize when it comes to your communication challenges is that we all have different communication styles. And I think that in a personal relationship, it becomes so much more highlighted how different communication styles really, really affect how that conversation will go. So in my current relationship, while I'm a processor, I am also somebody who talks more than my partner. So it makes it a little interesting, because I could talk a lot and he's more of a listener. But I think that what I've learned is that I really actually appreciate the fact that he lets me just kind of talk and talk and talk. But at the same time, it doesn't put pressure on me to feel like I have to fill the space. So even though I like to talk, it's just because that's who I am. But the point that I'm ultimately getting at is that I can, in a interaction with, we'll say, where it's heated, I know that I can say, we're going to put a pin in this, and we're going to walk away from it for now, and we'll come back to it. So I would say that the number one thing to maybe identify in your relationship is, what are your communication styles like, and how can we honor what the other party needs in that communication style? When I was coming from my previous relationship into the new relationship, I was literally taking everything I learned about communication there and applying it in the new one, and that did not work. So in other words, because it was always so very fiery between myself and my ex-partner, I was trying to come into this new relationship being very, very fiery. And like, that just didn't go anywhere. In fact, if anything, what he would do is he would shut me right down. He'd be like, yeah, we're not going to do that. Have you ever tried to argue with somebody who won't engage with you? It doesn't work very well. So I think the point that I'm trying to ultimately make is, when it comes to your personal relationship, I think it becomes even more important to make sure that you can kind of get a sense of what their communication style is and really honor that. So if they're a processor, give them the time. If there's somebody who needs to hash it out, This one can be, in my observation, a little fiery, just depending on what the personalities are. But usually I think in a fiery situation, if it's getting really heated, what I normally suggest to people who ask me is I'll say, okay, well, you can have that conversation if the person feels like they need to hash it out. But then once it starts to get really hot, let's put a pin in it and let's come back to it, because there's nothing that's so urgent, or there's rarely anything that's so urgent that we can't come back to it at a later point in time. Now, bearing in mind, we also talked a little bit about the different personality types, and this does become very effective as well, because if you are able to identify, you know, the other person in this interpersonal relationship and what they need, then you can meet them where they are. So I have this friend who is an intense feeler, and I'm a feeler, but she's really, really a feeler, like more than I am. And she would say, so if she called me at work and I was like really busy with something, I would say to her, I'd take the call, but I would say, I only have 5 minutes. And she hated that. And so she would say to me, she's like, I don't like the way it makes me feel. It makes me feel like you don't have time for me. And I was saying, well, I am making time for you because I'm answering the call. But because she was able to vocalize that, me saying, I got to take this, or I'm calling you because I've got 5 minutes, made her feel, we'll say, less than, I met her where she was. So instead, I wouldn't take the call. I would send her a text message and say, I'm in the middle of something right now. I'll call you back later when I have more time. So that is the value of being able to identify the personalities that are operating around you. And again, just to recap, orange is a free spirit or very spontaneous type of energy. A blue personality is someone who is compassionate and really more into their feelings. Yellow folks are into duty and responsibility. And our green folks are very, very analytical and data-driven. Now, just as we wrap up what the communication skills look like when it comes to your personal lives, once you've had your conflict and you are able to identify the different communication styles and effective ways to kind of move through that, I think that it becomes increasingly important to be able to clearly delineate what the things are that are important to you, and whatever fashion that takes. And I find that a lot of folks around me these days are using all the many different methods that are at their disposal. So if it's a text message, I know a lot of people don't love it, and text is not great because they're short, but email, I think emails are absolutely great, especially when we're talking about things that might be misconstrued. I've absolutely used an email when I'm wanting to say something to somebody that I might not be able to say in person. So there's that. And then of course, one of the things that I also use is if it's a heated conversation, you can put time frames around it. So we'll talk about it, and if it starts to get very heated, we're going to put a pin in it. And the standing rule is we've got 24 to 48 hours to come back and have this conversation. So effectively what you're doing is you're like taking the conflict, and I'm talking about it from the negative side of things, because let's face it, when things are all rosy and sunshiny, it's pretty easy to communicate. It's when things are challenged that communication can become really challenging. So when it comes to conflict, we'll usually put a time frame around it, saying, you know, after 24 to 48 hours, we got to come back to the table and have this conversation and begin to work through it. And there was one thing that somebody had said to me many, many years ago, and I think it served me well on occasion. And that thing was basically that we don't always have to agree. I come from one background, this other person on this other side comes from a different background, and we're not always going to see eye to eye on the important things. Okay, that's a different story. But like on the little things that really might not matter, at the end of the day, sometimes I'm just going to let it go and chalk it up to we're not going to agree, because somebody might be always trying to be right or fighting not to be wrong. And that's always energy that I'm really trying to stay out of. So anyways, to recap what we talked about today, we talked about how we go about building effective communication skills, the challenges that can come up, some different ways that we can help to break down those barriers so that we can move organizational objectives along. And in addition to that, finding peace and harmony and clearness in our personal relationships. So thank you so much for joining me today on Sacred Leadership with Charisse on the Inspired Choices Network. Until next time, take care.
Thank you for listening to the Sacred Leadership Show. Charisse returns Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific on the InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, continue taking small steps today to be a leader in your life for the collective.